reporting from Niger. A Chinese investigative team is to go to Japan. They want to find out why a panda on loan to a Japanese zoo has died. And this is a really sensitive issue that strains already difficult relations between the two nations. Henry Nichols is author of The Way of the Panda, The Curious History of China's Political Animal. So I asked him, why is it being taken so seriously by the Chinese authorities that a panda has died whilst in Japanese care?
China takes pandas very, very seriously. I think there's some extra tensions over this particular panda because it was in Japanese hands. It's a big part of China's identity, in fact, modern identity. So it emerged almost entirely coincidentally with the Communist Party coming to power in 1949. So it emerged as China's national treasure in the 1950s and from then has taken on just increasing cultural significance, particularly within China.
How do Chinese people feel about pandas? Is there any comparison with the way Americans feel about grizzly bears, for example? You know, they're a symbol of strength, of aggression, of determination, but they also don't mind shooting them.
They absolutely adore the species, almost to the point where I'm not sure whether they actually appreciate there is this wild animal. It's just been abstracted to such a degree. They are obsessed by it and they love to see them. And, you know, it's beautiful, it's rare, it's very valuable. All those things that make it very special.
Tell us about the early explorations, the early scientific adventures to try and get the panda. The first time that one was actually captured, it was not all that long ago.
Incredibly, it was just 140 years ago. So before that, the animal was very little known, even within China. There are stories that it was more widely known, or the emperors knew of it, but there are no artistic renditions of it. And a Western missionary collected a couple of specimens in 1869, sent them back to Paris. He was French. And they are the specimens on which the formal scientific description is based. So it's a big mammal, very beautiful. So there was an appeal to go and try and find this thing, but it's incredibly difficult to find.
That's, are they difficult to see? Because I've only ever seen them in zoos, and they're black and white.
Exactly.
They look like they'd stand out anywhere.
They will just run away. So it's incredibly dense vegetation, their natural habitat, and long before you've seen them, they've just gone. As humans kept encroaching on their habitat, they just kept moving away higher and higher up the mountain. So the interaction between humans and pandas was really small.
But even more recently was the first, I suppose you would say, carefully controlled expedition. Tell us about Howard Quigley.
He's an American zoologist, and in 1980 he was capturing bears. So he was quite experienced, in fact, even at the age of 20, at darting and sedating and then radio-collaring bears in America. And he was brought into China for the very first project to study the giant panda in its natural habitat, and it fell to him, this very, very huge responsibility to be the first to dart a wild panda. And, you know, I interviewed him and he just remembers being kind of terrified at just this possibility that a panda might die. You know, already then, this would have been a very significant event for China.
And will they be here in 100 years?
Well, I think so. And that's mainly because they're a Chinese animal. So China is certainly not about to give up on its national treasure, and there are very strong signs from them that they're taking panda conservation immensely seriously, but also increasingly the conservation of other species and green spaces in China.
That's Howard Nichols. His book is called The Way of the Panda, The Curious History of China's Political Animal. On the markets at the moment, dollar unchanged against the yen, 85.6.